Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
If you have not been with us for the last few weeks, we've been in a series, just a four-week series, going over the seasons of our life. Like nature, the seasons of our life move. We go in and out of different seasons. And unlike life, sometimes we can go from a winter season to a fall season, or from fall back to summer. It's different in nature, right? Nature, we know how to dress, we know how to prepare and foresee that the change coming. But in life, as we move from one season, sometimes we feel unprepared. And so I wanted to just have this quick series to just remind us of the truth of God's word in it, that in every season, God is present. God is speaking and God is working, no matter what might be happening today in your life. And when we learn to pay attention to that truth, we find that every season has a purpose. As we lean into the truth of what God has for us, we understand that each season, with its highs and its lows, offers an opportunity for transformation. Transformation to become more like Christ, which is our motivator. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you are called to become more like Him. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then that is the first step in moving into this life of transformation, to be transformed from your old life that leads to death into this new life that is found only in Christ that leads to eternal life. Today, we are wrapping up this series, and we are going to talk about what has become my favorite season, not necessarily in life, but in nature, and that is fall. And we all know fall's coming, right? We've just got a few more weeks, maybe a couple more days where the 90s and the upper 80s keeps hitting us. And then all of a sudden, the windows open, that cool, crisp air blows in, and all of a sudden the trees start doing that magical thing that they start doing that up until I moved here, never seen in my entire life. Okay, in Texas, fall means hurricanes, and then that's it. But we, you know, the leaves do turn colors, but they just go from green to brown. Sometimes you get a yellow, and that's fun, but it's just on its way to brown. It's really not what we have here. And don't you just love the, again, I talk to Jake a lot, and Jake, I ask questions, and Jake goes, I'm going to be honest, I haven't thought about that in 30-something years, because it's just always been my life. And so, you know, I ask about the trees. I'm like, what about this? And see, and he's like, I don't know, man. It just does. You take it for granted. The first fall we were here, it was like, we went up north, and that little trip, if you don't and haven't, because you're, you know, Michigander for life, and you just forgot what awesomeness looks like because you just live in it all the time, head up 23, go up north all the way up to Mackinac and just be amazed at God's incredible creation. And if you're online, right, I've been telling all my friends in Texas, come up, visit. They all want to visit in the summer. It's fine, but come in the fall. Your world will be just blown open, and you might not ever leave. It does change, right? The problem with fall is that there's that other thing that comes afterwards, which everybody else is very afraid of. I don't have the right coats. But there's so much beauty in the colors of the season. There's so much, you know, the corn, right? I didn't know about, listen, I'm not a stranger to corn, okay? But the whole idea of the sweet corn thing that starts happening in the fall season and all, that's a whole nother level, right? All these harvest festivals. Everybody used to say, well, what did you guys do in Texas? Like, I don't know. It's hot all the time. We're on the water a lot, okay? We don't have these cider things. But, by the way, awesome. Cider and donuts? Also didn't know that was a thing. And it is, and it's great. The donut part especially. Cider's fine. It's hot. But if you've paid attention in the falls of Michigan, you know that there is nothing quite like it. Hard to explain. But as beautiful as it is, fall is also a signal that change is coming. Change is in the air. The green of summer is gone. The leaves will ultimately fall. The days get shorter. And the cold is creeping in. Fall is that in-between season, that moment where life is beautiful, but there's a shift in the air. And it's what makes it so powerful and so amazing and majestic, but also what can make it very difficult. Because it reminds us of those transitional moments in life. The old moving toward the new moving to old, moving to the, you know, the death of next season. It's a season, fall is a season of letting go. And there's an anticipation, right? That fall is great because we know that the harvest is here. And, you know, again, if you grew up on a farm or if, you know, whatever, you know that the harvest is what you've been working for. You've been toiling. It's what made summer worth it. When those vegetables are, you know, gigantic and beautiful and tasty, the harvest is here. Winter was hard. The roots grew deep. Spring was hopeful. Summer was hot and heavy, but much growth came during that time. And then fall is that moment where all of that work pays off. You're in the fields. You're in harvest. You reap what was planted so long ago. And it forces us to ask the question in our spiritual life, can I trust God with this transition? Can I trust him? And just as importantly, it also asks, it begs the question, will I trust him to bring the harvest in me and through me, even if I can't see it yet? So those two questions are kind of the basis for what we're going to look at today in Scripture. And one of the most amazing stories of fall in Scripture, it's tucked away in a very short Old Testament book called Ruth. So if you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Ruth, we're going to be in that book today. Our main character that we see here is, there's multiple main characters, obviously Ruth's one of them, but we're going to really focus on the life of Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. She experiences change in a dramatic and total way. And through it all, what we're going to see is that God brought harvest out of immense pain, out of something that she would have never in her life drawn up. And yet God was working in the midst of it. So look with me in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone with her two sons, without her two sons or her husband. So now we have Naomi in this foreign land, right outside of Bethlehem, where she knew and had all of her family and relationships. She's been taken away from that, and now her husband dies, and then 10 years later, her two sons dies, so she has no protectors and no support. She's living in loss. She was grieving what once was. And we see her walking through this enormously difficult season of life when it feels like everything, and it is, falling apart completely and totally. But Naomi couldn't see what was on the horizon. Her loss was really just the beginning of a harvest season that God was already preparing. So look in verse 6. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." So it's very honorable. This is a very good thing to say. They don't want to leave this lady to her own. And so they say, "We don't want to leave you." Then we see Naomi in verses 11 through 13 give them very valid reasons why they have no business staying. They're young, and what, is she ever going to be able to have kids again? And would they wait for them to grow up and become their husbands? No, that's silly. There's no reason for them to do that. Just leave her in her turmoil. And we see in verse 14 that Orpah eventually takes her up on that decision. Look with me in verse 14. "And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. 'Look,' Naomi said to her, 'your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same.'" And don't miss this. "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us.' When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more." Ruth is Naomi's unexpected blessing in the midst of the most difficult season of her life. It's certainly not what Naomi thought she wanted and certainly did not want, but this companion Ruth was exactly what she needed. So in your fall season, whether you're in the midst of it right now or you've got a fall coming, God often provides you a person as an answer to your prayer, someone to walk alongside you as a Ruth, to bear those difficult times, to bear the struggles of life together. And I want to say this incredibly clearly. If you're going through a fall season, a season of change, of turmoil, and you don't understand what's happening, but you know that God is faithful, I want you to look for your Ruth, to open your eyes to the truth of who God is and that he provides this for you. Don't try to go alone. We talked about it in Sunday school a lot today, which, by the way, if you're not part of a small group, I would highly encourage you to jump into a small group, because we were designed for community. And while this gigantic group of people is awesome, it's not the same as having a group of 10 to 12 people that you can lean on in your most desperate moments. So join that. But we were talking in small group today about the power of community and how one of the lies that Satan has told many of us here in America especially is that we have to do this all on our own, that we have to pick ourselves up and just power through and just make it happen. And Satan has told us that because he knows that's not how we're designed. And that's not how it works. What God has told us is that we need to take these difficult moments together, to walk alongside people, to be strengthened, to understand that we are not on an island, that we're not the only ones that have ever gone through these difficult things. So look for your Ruth in this season of change. But maybe you're on the other side of the season of change. Maybe you've walked alongside this and you know how difficult it can be. Maybe you need to be the Ruth to someone else. So wherever you find yourself today, Ruth can be a model for us, either someone that we take into the walk of the difficult seasons of our life, or we can become that person for someone else, even when, like Naomi, they might push us away at first. Because isn't that what happens? you try to lend out a hand, you reach out to somebody, and what happens? They go, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. Lean into that person. Be a pest because they need you. They just don't know how to say it yet. They don't know how to accept it. I promise you, in the end, they'll hug your neck and thank you for walking alongside of them. Because here's the truth. The fall harvest isn't just about what you gather. It's about what you give. That's so important for us to understand. We believe this American dream lie that we have to just get everything that we can possibly get, no matter what it means and who we have to step on to get it. And what God has shown us is that it's all about what we can give away. He gave us his only son, his whole life. He laid down for us so that we might have life. Our model should be the same. And there are people around you, family, friends, coworkers, classmates, who are walking through difficult seasons of life right now. Seasons of transition, seasons of questions, seasons of loss, grief. And God has put you in their life for this specific time. So don't miss it. So we see Naomi and Ruth, they return to Bethlehem. They're poor women who are completely at the mercy of this community. And they are dependent on the goodness of others to carry them through. And what is set up for people like this is that during the harvest season, they allow these downtrodden people to come in behind the harvest workers to pick up the bits and pieces that were left over. So, you know, not the best, not the first fruits for sure, but the bits. That's enough to maybe sustain them. This was an ancient form of social care. But it just so happens, of course, by God's design, that Ruth, who goes out to the harvest fields to pick up these scraps, ends up in the field of a man named Boaz. Boaz, who is a man of integrity, a man of compassion, and a relative, it turns out, to Naomi. He notices Ruth. He asks questions about her, and he makes the determination on his own to protect her. He arranges for her even to receive more than enough to provide for her needs. And he becomes what the Old Testament calls a kinsman redeemer. Look with me in Ruth chapter 2, verse 17. So Ruth gathered barley there all day, and when she beat out the grain that evening, it filled an entire basket. She carried it back into town and showed it to her mother-in-law. Ruth also gave her the roasted grain that was left over from her meal. Where did you gather all this grain today? Naomi asked. Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one who helped you. So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. She said, the man I worked with today is named Boaz. May the Lord bless him, Naomi told her daughter-in-law. He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers. So this is harvest imagery at its best. Boaz is literally and spiritually gathering in the harvest, not just of grain, but of people. He brings Ruth and, by extension, Naomi into this blessing. And by the end of the story, Ruth has married Boaz and he has been redeemed, and they have a son named Obed, which is this. I don't want you to miss this part of the story. I don't want to rush by it quickly, but what you're going to see is God's incredible plan all along through this pain and torment. And we see Naomi being celebrated within the village as we get to Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. It says, then the women of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him into her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor woman said, now at last Naomi has a son again. And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. Fall began with famine and death in Naomi's life, and it ended with incredible fruitfulness. And at first glance, when you look at Naomi's journey, you really might call that beginning stages of spiritual and emotional turmoil in her life winter. And she suffers devastating loss, and her husband dies, her sons die, and she has to return to Bethlehem just bitter and broken. And if we were to break her story into multiple seasons, we would point to that first season as certainly a winter season where she is in deep grief. But here's why I consider this story in totality a story of fall. Because fall isn't only about the harvest. It's also a time of transition. It's the in-between moment when color is changing, the air is shifting, and God is moving us from one chapter of life to another. That is Naomi's whole journey. God is at work behind the scenes. And in their arrival back into Bethlehem at the beginning of the actual harvest season, we see a subtle but very powerful image that I don't want you to miss, that the work of renewal has already begun. Naomi doesn't know it yet. Ruth doesn't know it yet. They are just walking along the path. And through this change, they're learning to move forward. They're waiting on the Lord and ultimately will bring reaping a harvest, not just of grain. That, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't even matter, but of redemption, of legacy, and the birth of something new in the line of David, which if you know your Bible, you know that in the line of David comes who? Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's an incredible thing that I don't want you to miss, that as we read Ruth, we often miss that, right? Because we skip through all of those names. And if you're reading the Bible plan with us as we're doing as a church, you know that we're in 1 Chronicles right now. And boom, the most names. And I know you're tempted to go, blah, 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 next chapter, blah, blah, blah. Oh, there's a little story about David. That's cool. And blah, 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 blah. Don't do that. Because when you do, you miss gold little nuggets like this that are so important, because we see here that Obed becomes the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of King David, the man after God's own heart, who ultimately would be in the line of Jesus. Naomi, in all of her pain, could never have imagined that. But God, right? But God, He was writing her story the whole time, planting the seeds of salvation that would bless the whole world. And don't miss this. As we shift to thinking about fall as a season in our own lives, we have to understand that fall should remind us that there is a time to reap. This is the time to reap. Not every season is just about planting. Not all the seasons are about just enduring. We need to reap in this fall harvest. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. No matter what season of life you're in, our mission should be the same, to make followers of Jesus Christ, to introduce the gospel to a world that is in desperate need of him. See, Jesus was talking about people, souls, ready to hear and to receive the gospel, ready to be welcomed into the family of God, to find forgiveness for sin that is eating them alive, to experience that incredible gift of salvation that changes everything. So what does this mean for you and I? It means that fall is a season not only of trusting God in your transition, but of joining him in his mission. Who is the person in your life right now that is going through a hard transition? Because that might be your field. You need to recognize where those people are, and you need to walk up to them. Right? Maybe it's a neighbor who just recently went through a divorce. Maybe it's a coworker whose mother just passed. Maybe it's the parent of a young adult who just started college and doesn't understand how to adjust to the sense of loss that they're feeling. Or maybe it's someone that just received a life-changing diagnosis. Whatever it is, this is the harvest time and God is telling you to go. He's calling you to walk with that person. Not by pressure, but by presence in love. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need to have a story, your story of how God was faithful in your fall, in your life. Because the world, listen, the world has plenty of sermons. It doesn't need more sermons. What it needs is stories. Your story. That's what a lost world needs the most. Naomi's story ended with a grandchild in her arms and her hope restored. And that journey was anything but comfortable and definitely not the way that she would have drawn it up. But God was faithful throughout all of it. And through it all came the Savior of the world that changed everything. So if you're in a season of transition right now, If you're watching all of what you call life fall away, he's asking you to trust him. Because Naomi, she could have given up. She could have completely just said, all right, kill me right now in Moab, laid down and died. But she didn't. She had faith. And she walked back to the city of bread, to Bethlehem. And if you're seeing fruit right now and you're wondering what you're going to do with it, I mean, you're looking at life and you're like, man, I'm not in a negative season. I'm not in winter. Things are going really good for me. Well, maybe it's time for you to start sharing that. Because the harvest is fall. The harvest of fall is not just for you. It's to be used through you with someone else. That's the Christian life. Because ultimately, every harvest season points back to the cross. Back to Jesus, our Redeemer, the greater Boaz, who gathers the broken, the outcast, the sinners, and brings them into his family. And as Jesus said to the 72 disciples, as they were sent out in Luke chapter 2, he said, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. Anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. One of the things that keeps us from going out and sharing our story and sharing the good news is that we're afraid of being rejected. And Jesus is saying, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to share. To take what has happened in your life and to move forward. And trust me for the results. Because when they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And he's big enough to handle that. So trust him in it. The Holy Spirit moves in the heart of people. And we just have to extend the invitation and trust God for the results. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to reflect on the transition that you're in. Maybe you're in a system of transition. This next step is not necessarily for everyone in here. This is for the person who's in the middle of fall right now. You don't know why the change is happening. You don't know how to deal with the change that's happening, but you know it is happening and it hurts. So reflect on it. Write it down. Grieve it. Invite God into it, which is something that we always, in the midst of our pain, we cry out to God, but we don't invite him into it with us, to grieve, because God's not done with your story in the midst of your difficult times. He's working something incredible for his glory, even if it means difficulty in your life. The second thing is this: look for a Ruth in your life, or be a Ruth to someone. I can't express this enough, because as you look around, who has he placed in your life to walk with you? Don't go at it alone. Don't feel like you have to go at it alone. Don't feel like your story is the only thing, that this is the only time it's ever happened in the history of ever, and no one else is going to understand it. You're lying to yourself. It feels that way. It feels like it's true. But trust me, you've just bought into a deception. There are people around you that want to walk with you. Allow them to. And if you are that person who has walked through this season of transition and you're ready to be a root to somebody else, I would encourage you to do that. You probably have somebody on your heart already. And maybe they've pushed you away. Maybe they've rejected your offer. Don't give up on them. Ruth had to be persistent, even though Naomi kept telling her to go her own way, to live her own life. She stayed. And it brought redemption to that whole family. And it brought the Savior. And the third thing is to join the harvest. We've been talking about this all year long. Don't waste the fruit that God has grown in you. Use it. Use your story. Share your faith. Invite someone to church. Open your home. Be the one who says, wherever you go, I'll go. And I'll bring Jesus with me. That's our calling. That's our mission. Each and every day. And as we close this series, this Season of Life series, I want this truth to just settle into your heart. That seasons change, but God doesn't. Remember that. Write it down somewhere. So that whatever season you find yourself in, as life continues to move forward, it doesn't change who God is. And it shouldn't change the way that you understand him. Because God is with you in the cold silence of winter. He's with you in the new life of spring. And he strengthens you in the heat of summer. And he walks with you through the transitions of fall. So whatever season you find yourself in, whether bitter cold or the beauty of fall, trust the one who made all the seasons. I'm going to leave you with a psalm that is incredibly powerful, that take a picture of it, write it down, put it somewhere that you'll be reminded of it each day that you go after today. Psalm 121:5 says, "The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade." No matter what's going on in your life, this is true. No matter how far you feel away from God, no matter how far you feel he is away from you, the truth is he watches over you and he stands beside you as your protector. Trust in that today. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for that truth. God, we thank you that no matter how we feel on any given day, the truth of your word is that you are near us, that you have never left us, you have never forsaken us, and that you will love us. May we be reminded of that in the midst of our season of change, in the middle of winter, in the hard-fought summer. God, may we look to this verse and trust you that you are right beside us. And Father, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness to us in all seasons. In Jesus' name. Amen.